It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 6th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, there's a closed-door meeting scheduled in Washington, D.C. Shocker, I know, but this particular meeting looks to be both relatively unique and relatively urgent. As the GOP works on defining its platform ahead of the 2016 Republican convention, it is inviting tech lobbyists to weigh in. Pick any topic: immigration, surveillance, equality for LGBTQ people, and the assumption is often that the GOP and the tech industry folks probably don't see eye to eye. This is an assumption that both sides seem to want to change. Tony Rahm at Politico says it's an uphill battle.
Republicans have to reassure Silicon Valley that they still are interested in the same issues that they are, that they're looking at high-skilled immigration reform or they're looking at surveillance reform, despite what Donald Trump might be saying on the campaign trail. Now, that's likely to cause some awkwardness between Trump and the Republican establishment here in Washington. But it's still the case that for the rest of the Republican Party, for those running in state and national elections, folks looking to get to Congress, that the RNC really has to be out there courting business leaders, talking the same language that Silicon Valley is speaking, and really trying to address some of their concerns.
Politico's Tony Rahm there. While we are on tech and policy, Prime Minister of India Narendra Modi is in Washington, D.C. this week. He'll visit the White House and address a joint meeting of Congress. A major agenda item: growth and clean energy, as in India's breakneck growth and the West's interest in that growth being green. Varun Sivaran is Douglas Dillon Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Varun, can you give us a status update on India's energy infrastructure?
Currently, 300 million people don't have power in India, and 600 million people are going to need electricity by 2040. And for that to happen, India's going to have to spend over $2 trillion on its electricity infrastructure alone.
We're talking about energy here, but I suppose there's also a conversation to be had about connectivity, right?
The nexus between the energy and information technology networks is large. For example, cell phone towers now are increasingly powered by remote renewable energy installations. And once you have a reliable anchor tenant like a cell phone tower, you can then use that renewable energy to power nearby villages that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten to with the grid.
Does the U.S. tech industry have a role in the future of India when it comes to building some of this infrastructure?
Yeah, absolutely. Innovative U.S. companies that, for example, are willing to license their technology for domestic manufacture in India or even for export can help to catalyze this energy efficiency revolution, where India, as a large public procurer, can implement a program where it guarantees that a U.S. firm will have demand either for its technology or for its exports, so long as that demand can then be met cheaply in a way that benefits Indians as well.
Varun Sivaram, he is Douglas Dillon Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Varun, thank you very much.
Ben, thanks for having me.
I visited Durham, North Carolina recently, and like a lot of mid-sized cities with a healthy bit of higher education and big tech industry in the region, Durham is growing and changing fast. Many of its residents want Durham to continue to be a tech hub, and one part of attracting and keeping business and tech talent is building physical environments that are friendly to innovation. So while in Durham, I visited one of these physical environments, American Underground, part co-working space, part startup accelerator. Here's a kind of walking tour from American Underground chief strategist Adam Klein.
On our first floor, when you come in, there are about 20 offices and a couple of conference rooms. We're walking past a company called Sports Tracks. It's a fitness analytics company for triathletes. We're walking past Third Track, which is a video game company. So as we're walking downstairs, we've got offices surrounding this co-working space. These offices host 2 to 4 people generally. We've tried to provide kind of a next level for these companies as they grow to go up a couple floors to larger and larger space. As they grow, they have different levels of support, different kinds of office space. One of the concerns in this area is the lack of Series A, Series B capital. The counter to that is that forces the entrepreneur here to really focus on customer traction early. In Durham, you've got to pitch a great idea, a good team, and show that you've already got customers who are paying you money. And so when talk of a bubble shows up, I actually think that regions like ours and the Triangle have an opportunity to weather that better than most other startup hubs because so many of our companies are focused on the very basics of business.
Can we talk about the vault?
So this building was a bank space, and as such, we had a bank vault that came with the building, and so we decided to kind of create this speakeasy feel. There's this air circulation thing. I'm not even sure how this thing works. And then added in some televisions, and I can tell you during March Madness, this is one of the most popular parts of the space to be in. We get pizza in, and everybody comes together to watch the basketball games. So we're going to go back, head upstairs to some of the growth stage space for companies that have gone beyond the 3, 4, or 5-person office. This is the fourth floor out of 5, and it attaches to our rooftop patio, a place that we do a lot of happy hour events and a gathering spot for the community. People come out here to just do work. You know, there's been some concern in our community that as these companies get acquired, they're going to move the labor force away, and it's been the opposite. And I think part of that is that the talent here is phenomenal. I mean, we have Duke 1 mile down the road, North Carolina Central, UNC Chapel Hill. These large companies are able to find great talent. They're not having to compete against Facebook and Twitter and all these other companies in the Valley who are stealing talent from each other all the time. And they're able to do it at a pretty affordable wage that's still a great wage here, but relative to what they're paying on the West Coast. And yet they're not compromising talent. They're still getting world-class talent.
Adam Klein of American Underground, that piece put together with the help of Marketplace's Levi Sharp. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.